Yes, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant, and this is Now We're Talking, 2 months later. We had an unplanned two-month hiatus from the show, as you may have noticed if you're a regular listener. If you didn't notice, or if you did notice and you're not a regular listener, that's just bizarre. Email me and explain how that works. I'd be curious to know. It's good to be back in the studio. I'm doing the show alone today, but don't worry, that's not because Keith has left the show. Keith is going to be back next week, and we will be talking. Now we will be talking as of next week. Today, I'm talking alone. It's kind of strange to be in here doing this alone. I think maybe it's happened once or twice or something, very rare. But yeah, we had this two-month hiatus, and I'm here talking to you. So it's going to be Now I'm Talking on Now We're Talking, unless later in the show you give us a call, which I'll invite you to do in a little bit. The number, by the way, is 604-UBC-CITR, just to plant that seed in your brain. But yeah, it's interesting to come in and do the show and to explain the hiatus and maybe just touch base in general about what's going on. There's over the holidays, of course, you know, it's probably typical around here. People skip out on a show or two to go home for the holidays, so that was certainly part of it. But you know, it's interesting. It's a new year, and I must confess that I'm sort of reflecting on last year, and thankfully, after taking a month off in January to gain some clarity, to sort of improve my health overall, I'm able to look back with a much better sense of clarity and think about last year. Obviously, some good things happened for me last year on a personal level. I mean, this show started last June. I'd hosted a college radio show when I was in university quite a few years ago. So I'd done it before, but I always had wanted to do it again because I enjoyed broadcasting and I enjoy the interview. And I also enjoy Keith and having Keith involved. You know, it's basically just been a good hangout for us and a chance to do something together. So that was definitely a good thing that happened last year amidst a year that was otherwise quite confusing, to be honest. It started out very strange for me. And I don't know, you know, obviously as I'm going to sort of enter into this here, I want to acknowledge, you know, I'm running the risk of being self-indulgent and masturbatory here, but then again, what is college radio for? Why not, you know? I hope it's not, though. I hope it's accessible to you. Otherwise, I could be doing this in my bathroom with a fake microphone and some slippers on. I could just paint the whole scene, but you get it. But I'm here, and I'm doing it at the station for the show because, who knows, maybe the conversation that I want to have with you, assuming you're there and you're listening, will result in you calling in, and then we can return to Now We're Talking, and we can have a conversation. But I'm realizing why not take this opportunity to talk to you about what last year was like for me, you know? I have a history of entering into cycles of significant depression, and that was how last year started for me. That's not the story of the whole year, but that put me into a certain place, and it kind of set a tone in a way. I wasn't depressed for the duration of the year, but yeah, it really, last year was about being lost in the woods, folks. I don't know. I don't know if that came across in the show. I think because coming in to do the show was something I enjoyed, that it was kind of a happy experience coming and doing it, but yep, I was lost in the woods. And I'm assuming, you know, hopefully the more I talk about this, people can relate. That's why I'm talking about this, because I feel like let's have a real conversation about this, you know? I got lost in the woods last year. I started sabotaging my life and kind of dismantling it. Coming in and doing the show, as I keep saying, well, that was an example of me trying to restore some sense of purpose. But, you know, I had a pretty active career dating back to 2015 as a musician, primarily, and also as a voiceover artist. And it's just a funny thing. I wasn't sure why exactly. Part of it is just self-defeating and totally inexplicable and unconscious forces driving behavior. But I don't know. There's so much I enjoyed about doing those things. But yeah, I just started kind of dismantling it. I stopped working with my agent in voiceover, and then I stopped really being able to function in those gigs. And you know what? I felt bad. That's the reason I stopped doing the gigs and left the band that I was playing with, which is a successful event corporate band in Vancouver. I just felt badly. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that experience where your behavior is influenced by your mood and your depression, and you just feel like, I don't want to subject other people to this. I don't want to let other people down. So maybe it would be the heroic thing to just bow out gracefully and give people, you know, allow them to reclaim their space. So that's what I did. Was it heroic? I don't know. Probably not. But that's what I did. And I just kind of spent last year trying to avoid the reality of that and the consequences of that financially in terms of my happiness, and just tried to not think about it. And in doing so, create the possibility of, I don't know, just try, you know, indifference. And you can do that for a while, you know? And it can, you know, especially with Netflix, YouTube, as long as you got a good Wi-Fi connection, and I had a good one. Last year, Shaw, what is it, 100 gigs or something? They just, whatever it is, it was a huge jump in download speed. So, man, I was able to just live in another world last year. And that was effective. But you can only do that for so long before your soul and your heart really starts to hurt and you realize this is not what I want my experience of consciousness to be. So, yeah, by the end of the year, that just became more and more evident. And I actually got to the point right at the end of the year, last couple of days of December, not that long ago, when I thought, man, I need to get out of here. I need to go somewhere where I can just focus on my health straight up as a starting point. And hopefully that will invite new possibilities or just invite some clarity. Really, maybe that will get me out of the woods. Can we get the sound of the woods, by the way, in here? Let's just see if we can do this. Yeah. I'm not sure what kind of... This kind of sounds like almost like a magical forest. It should probably sound a little bit more ominous. That's the metaphor, though. Lost in the woods. You know what? I'm going to take that out because there's just too many crickets and not enough... I need other sounds in that sonic landscape to depict what I'm talking about. Oh, well, I tried. I queued that up, by the way, before. I should have YouTubed ominous forests. Not sure what I was thinking. Anyway, I made that decision. I was lucky enough to be able to visit a friend in Prince Edward County, my friend Chantal, and I just stayed with her for the month, and I just focused on my health. I just every single day, I just thought I walk 10,000 steps a day, go to the gym, I'm gonna drink lots of water, I'm gonna stop eating sugar. I don't really drink alcohol, but just not going to do that either. And hopefully the combination of these things starts to work. So last year, I'm 6'3". This is all new information. I hope there's some long-term, long-time listeners out there because this is all new information. I'm 6'3". And I would say my ideal body weight is probably like 200 pounds. But because I'm so tall, when the weight starts to go on, it's kind of... You don't really notice it, you know? So kind of without realizing it, I crept up to about 240 pounds. When I went to Ontario, I was actually down to closer to 232. And over the course of a month, I lost 20 pounds. And I'm not saying that to be boastful. But my God, like you can imagine how that made me feel, to feel, so powerless. And then to do something like that and to get that result. So... really grateful about that, and much more important than the weight loss, it's given me clarity. So I guess, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about the clarity that I've achieved, and I guess it's causing me, especially coming in and doing the show, and I was in a very different space 2 months ago when I was last here. I feel like, how can I not comment on this? So there's a lot of things that happened last year, including, I kind of talked about deconstructing and sabotaging my career, but much more significant than that is just letting people down. And I can't talk about this without really, there's, I don't know who's in second, third, fourth, fifth place on this list, but they're a distant second, third, fourth, and fifth place to the main person I let down. And I wish to acknowledge that right now, because this person is the most important person in my life. And it was pointed out to me recently that Keith, and I'd noticed this, Keith is very good about loving his wife. If you listen to the show, you'll notice it's relatively frequent that he will give shout-outs to his wife, and he will acknowledge that he has loving feelings for his wife. Of course, he is paid to do this, so it's not entirely romantic. It's mostly romantic, but of course he does get paid a fee to do that. I should acknowledge that. But it was pointed out to me, what's the deal with Keith constantly talking about this person that's so important to him, and you don't mention the person that's important to you? Well, this is a good example of being lost in the woods, folks. It just doesn't add up, the things that I truly felt and how I express myself. So I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge that when we had a caller call in the show a couple times, her name was Sheila from West Virginia. And I'll be honest with you, Sheila was not actually a Sheila, and she's not from West Virginia. You may have suspected that, but now the cat is out of the bag. Sheila is portrayed by Marley Collins, and Marley is my person. It's an interesting thing, the words that we use to describe people. I could say best friend, but that wouldn't be nearly enough. And in my mind, it's just the word person, because I never really thought that way before in terms of other relationships with people. Maybe it's getting older, or maybe it's just being lucky and finding somebody that matters that much to you. But Marley is my person, and I don't know how we'll fit into each other's lives in the future, because my God, did I make it difficult for her last year. And I'm very sorry for that. But anyway, she's my person, and she's very funny. And I was going through the archives of the show, and I was trying to find these clips, and I realized it was the Halloween show. I think it was her second time calling in. So I'd like to play for you right now a clip of basically a character from the show, Sheila from West Virginia, portrayed by Marley Collins. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there. You calling about Halloween today?
Hi there, yeah.
You want to talk about Halloween?
I would love to talk about Halloween.
So did you go out this weekend, or are you waiting for the actual Halloween?
I'm waiting for the actual Halloween.
And what's the, are you going to dress up?
I'm going to dress down.
Oh, you're going to dress down. Keith was just talking about witch hatting it. Have you ever heard about witch hatting it?
Witch hunting?
Witch hatting, like the hat that you wear when you're a hat?
Yeah, if you put a witch hat on with any outfit, you kind of become a witch.
It becomes more witch-like.
Yeah, I think that's a thing. Yeah, that's a thing.
I often cowboy hat it, too.
Yeah, Keith likes to cowboy hat it. His wife likes to witch hat it.
Yeah.
But you're going to be dressing down for Halloween. Is your name Candy?
It's Sheila again.
Oh, it's Sheila.
Yeah, we've had Sheila on our show.
That's funny. I can hear, I think that was maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, and I know that you're from West Virginia.
Yes.
And that you've been living in Vancouver. I can hear that the accent is already becoming more Canadian. Nice. I guess just through immersion into the culture.
More Canadian-ized?
Yeah, I think it sounds.
I think I'm just more chill.
Mm-hmm. You become more West Coast chill. Mm-hmm.
West Coast chill bail.
Is that a way of saying that you've come to Vancouver and you've got into the weed?
I can't talk about that.
Okay.
It could just be that she's gotten away from all that coal.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of coal mining that goes on in West Virginia.
Okay.
And maybe it's whether you get into the weed, you're getting out of the coal.
Right.
So it's
getting into the weed. Coal, getting into the sun.
Exactly.
But I want to tell you something about Halloween.
Sure. Please.
So Halloween for me was always a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I loved it so much. And I would watch like Hocus Pocus. I would watch, like, you guys have, like, we have the Disney Channel, but you guys had, like, the Family Channel. Remember Family Channel?
I think so. I mean, vaguely, yes.
Well, all these Halloween shows would be on. There was this one show called Halloween Town.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl's name was Marnie.
Marnie.
And I hated that name so much.
Yeah.
I hated the name Marnie.
Yeah, that's it's a terrible name.
I know a girl named Marley,
mm-hmm.
and she hates it when she's called Marnie.
Marnie, or Marlene is another one.
Marlene, or
I actually knew a girl called Marnine.
Mm-hmm. I knew a girl named Marlene. That's actually real.
Marlene, yeah.
Yeah.
But I knew a girl called Marlene that I called Marnine because I knew a girl named Marnine.
Right. I often get Marlene and Marnine mixed up.
Yeah.
I like Marnay.
Marnay.
Oh, Rebecca de Marnay?
Well, I don't know. Anyway,
in Risky Business.
So I would watch all these shows because they're my favorite things. And then when I went trick-or-treating until I was about, like, in grade 11. So, like, I was, like, 16, 17.
Sure.
And, but when I was a kid going trick-or-treating, after I came back, I would organize all the candy. Like, you know what they're, like, the buckets of ice cream? Remember the buckets?
Sure, the four-liter buckets.
Yes, we had a lot of those. And then
into different food groups of candy?
Yes, they'd be, like, chips. It'd be about, like, you know.
Bubble gum.
And there'd be the chocolate.
Tootsie Pops.
There'd be the candy, the pop, yeah.
Granny Smith apples.
Razor blades.
Yeah, it was great. I loved Halloween.
And how long would it take you to eat all the candy?
Well, let's just say I had a lot of fillings, like in my teeth.
With your accent, sometimes I bet people misunderstand the word fillings for feelings.
I was going to say, I have a feeling that she did have some feelings, yeah. Fillings.
Oh, maybe I said that. I don't know. But fillings, like with your teeth, you know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that's
what it meant. Yeah, teeth feelings.
So I had so much candy. I can't recall when, like, how long it took, but I probably ate it fairly fast or kept, I don't know, it depends what kind of candy it was, you know?
Sure.
It
depends on if you have a dad who would come in there and scope out his favorite stuff and thin the herd.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of kids around, like, my siblings, and we all had a lot of candy.
Right.
So it was kind of like, you don't touch mine, I don't touch yours, unless we trade it, you know?
Yeah, my family was like that, too.
Yeah, if I was a dad with a bunch of kids, I would definitely, you know, insist on like 20% of all candy goes to the house.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a bit steep.
There's got to be
20%.
It just went up 25.
Oh.
Just went up because you doubted
me. You'll turn this car around.
Yeah, I will turn this car around to a place where there is no Halloween.
25%.
So are you going to go out? It sounds like you're dressing down tomorrow. What does that mean? You're not going out this year or you're too old now?
I want to go out, but I don't know yet. It's just, you know, life gets the best of you and you just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question as a female?
Sure.
Well, I guess I'm asking you because you're a female, not as a female. Yeah, I'm asking it.
You're currently a male.
I'm a male, currently.
Right.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, on purpose, for sure. Do you find that my wife, I'll give you some context. My wife was trying to find a costume this year. And she found that she was getting a little overrun by the fact that every single costume she wanted to, she had an interest in, was a slutty version of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Even to the point where she said that there was what's the Ghostbusters? Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yes.
She's a big fan. I bought her a t-shirt of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man for her birthday, in fact. And she said there was even a slutty Stay Puft Marshmallow Man,
oh,
which was
boy.
Just like a bustier with like a blue line and a red bow tie.
Oh, yeah, they can make it all, anything.
And she says, I think, and I think the quote is something like, I just wanted to be something fuzzy.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. She wants to be like a bear or a bunny rabbit. Do you find that's an issue? Or are you yourself slutty and therefore want to go that route in case that's your thing? Or?
Well, let me tell you a little something. So I was always the girl, the young girl that was dressed up as like the scary weirdo.
Yeah.
And then in my school, there'd always be the other girls that were dressed up like the cat or the, you know, super girl, you know, but like really like, you know, skinky, what you were saying.
Yeah.
So it was always really bothersome for me because I didn't like the skank-ay stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't my thing. And that's a big thing nowadays. So now it's just like an excuse for the girls to just dress up and look like, you know, something that they're not.
Yeah, which I think is fine if they choose it, but I just wish there was a bit more options, I think.
What would be good is if we're talking about costumes that don't have any basis, that aren't sexualized, like being the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. What if there was, but it becomes sexualized? What if it was the opposite? And you took, like, this year, you know, get the stripper costume, but you add marshmallows to it. To make it less sexy.
Is it just edible?
Is it just candy?
Well,
again?
It shouldn't be edible because that, over time...
Then they would become sluttier.
It would become slutty.
Right.
True. But if you're wanting to do that, that's a good idea for those people wanting to do that.
That's true. But people would have to ask for permission to eat the marshmallows, and you'd slap their hand away, and you'd say, and you'd say with a big marshmallow voice, I don't think so.
Yeah, no marshmallows for you.
You say it in as goofy a way as possible. What was the name again?
Who?
Your name.
My name, Sheila.
And Keith, what's your name?
Keith.
It's Keith. Okay, I'm just
not candy.
I'm just writing all this down. Well, Sheila, I want to thank you for calling in, and I wish you luck tomorrow. And
I wish you luck.
Make sure you're safe and have a good time.
Thanks, fellas.
Bye, Sheila.
Okay.
Bye.
See you
Happy
later.
Happy Halloween.
What's the name again? What? My name's Sheila. That's Sheila. So I hope that I haven't shattered the illusion for anybody, but yes, that was a character. And I would like to give credit to the performer in that improvised call-in sketch, which is Marley. And before I move on to something else in the show or just, I don't know, talk about other aspects of the year, I just want to dedicate this song to Marley. It's called Lost in the Light.
Lost in the light, I pray for the night to take me to. After so many words, still nothing's heard. Don't know what we should do. So if someone could see me now, let them see you. My greatest thrill when we just stood still. You let me hold your hand till I had my fill. Even counting sheep don't help me sleep. I just toss and turn right there beside you. So if someone could help me now, they'd help you too. Help you to see you through all the hard things we've all gotta do. Cause this life is long, and so you wouldn't be wrong. Being free. Said some awful things and I take them back. If we would try again, just remember when, before we were lovers, I swear we were friends. So if someone could see me now, let them see you. Let them see you. All the hard things we've all gotta do. Cause this life is long, so you wouldn't be wrong. Being free.
Lost in the Light by Bahamas. Do you know that song? If not, now you do. It's one of my favorite songs, and I'd like to dedicate that to my favorite person, Marley Collins, who has contributed to the show. Well, folks, it is almost half past, and this is pretty much the first time, I think, that I've hosted the show by myself. If you're just tuning in, the show is called Now We're Talking. Now We're Talking? Now We're Talking. That's actually just me pronouncing it or enunciating it three different ways. It's just called Now We're Talking. But you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is your host, Jeff Bryant. Typically, when you listen to the shows on Sunday at 6 p.m., 6 to 7 p.m., you'll hear that it's co-hosted by my very good, almost, I want to say, lifelong friend, Keith Kennedy. Technically, we haven't known each other our whole lives, but let's just go with that because it certainly feels that way. He's not here this week, but he'll be back next week. And we've been on a two-month hiatus, and it is very good to be back. And before the song there, I was just sort of reflecting on last year. In a way, this is the New Year show, even though we're well into the New Year, and it's February, because it's the first show of the New Year, and because we left you before the Christmas season. This is kind of just checking in about last year, and one of the things that was good about last year was starting the show and getting the chance to talk to you. But yeah, you know, kind of going back to what I was saying before, it's kind of an interesting thing. I've in the last month or so, I've gained a lot of strength mentally and physically by focusing on my health. So in a sense, I'm climbing out of a hole. But you know, it's funny. I just have been thinking a lot this week about what it means to hit rock bottom in your life, whatever that means to you. And I certainly feel like that's what happened for me last year, which may or may not surprise you. But that's pretty much how I feel. And of course, when you hit rock bottom, it sounds dreadful, and it is dreadful, but the good news about deciding you've hit the bottom is it's now your chance to climb back out of the hole. So with that, I will invite you to give us a call at 604-822-2487. Don't make me look bad. Don't leave me hanging for the next 33 minutes inviting you to call, and I just sit here talking in circles. Give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC. CITR. That's easy to remember if you're driving right now and you think, oh, maybe I'll call, but what's the number? I can't write this down. You know 604 because that's the most prevalent area code, so that's easy. You know UBC because you've heard of that, and CITR because I keep saying it. So pull over or do what you need to do. Maybe you're with somebody in the car, and I'm assuming you're in the car, by the way. I always do because let's be honest, who listens to the radio unless they're in the car? But maybe I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. These are all reasons to call, 604-UBC-CITR. What do you have to say about the concept of rock bottom? What's a moment in your life where you thought, this is not looking very good at all, and then you made a decision, I'm going to have to do something about this, and just accepted where you are, and then began to slowly build, rebuild your life? Give me a call and talk to me about that. Otherwise, I'm going to be talking about this ad nauseum all by myself. And we don't want that. You know, there were some good moments last year with the show. Keith and I started off, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. And I remember Keith, we did a bit where Keith, I think he went to Europe for Euro Cup. And that was fun. We also, at the beginning of the show, I started out with the premise that I wanted to conduct interviews. And I think the first six or seven episodes, something like that, were built around that premise where at least, I think, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of the show would be a pre-recorded interview that I would do with a personality, as opposed to somebody who doesn't have a personality, but with somebody, usually people that I know working in media. I think we started with Adam Schell, who's a local photographer. I know I talked to my friend Jennifer Bradley, who's a voiceover actress now based in London. I talked to my friend Craig Way, who's a musician. Who else was there? Ashley Morrison. She's a singer in Vancouver. My friend Jonathan Seibel, who's a technology enthusiast based in Toronto, Ontario. And I think Keith interviewed me at one point. There were a few interviews. And then that fell by the wayside. I'm not sure why. Did I run out of friends? I don't know. Maybe I ran out of conviction. But you know what? I think what I'm thinking about this year, I don't want to just always keep doing the same thing and expect to get a different result. So I think one thing we're going to try to do more this year with the show is to have live in-studio guests. Now, that might sound obvious, but of course, it's a bit of an ask to get people to come down, especially on a Sunday night. You know, when I thought about what time slot we wanted to do, I had to think about this very carefully because I wanted to make sure that other things going on in my life wouldn't conflict with the show. But of course, Sunday, 6 p.m., this is kind of the time when people are at home relaxing, potentially with their family. Or maybe just at home relaxing, thinking, why don't I have a family? Where did I go wrong? Who knows? But so I think it might be a bit of a challenge to get people to come in. Now, we could always do it on the phone. Or you can pre-record it as well. But I think I do want to, there's value in doing it pre-recorded. You can cut it and edit it and make it nice and presentable. But I think I'm realizing I want to have interviews that are live. So maybe we'll get people calling in. We'll twist some arms and we'll do it that way. But it would also be nice to have some in-studio guests. Now, I'm mentioning the phones, and I'm going to keep saying it, 604-UBC-CITR. That's the number. You call 604-822-2487. And basically, I will put your ass on the air. You will go on the air, and we will talk. Now, who knows if you've just tuned in. You might have no context for what the show's about. But really, the theme of the show is rock bottom. What does that mean to you? Do you know somebody in their life right now who's on their way to rock bottom or on their way out? Do you have a recollection? I'm sure you do, if it's happened, of a time or times in your life when things could be better and you couldn't find your way out, but you realized you had to figure it out, and somehow you did, and it probably wasn't easy. That could be great fodder for a conversation. So why not take this opportunity to expose yourself to the world? Not literally, of course, but figuratively at least, by giving me a call and joining me here on the radio. Otherwise, the show is just going to consist of random explosions. And that's just completely absurd. And I never know whether that draws people in or draws them out. But I can only imagine if I was flipping through the dial, because I still have a radio with a dial, and came across an explosion. I might be intrigued, I might be horrified. I don't know what I would do. But I'm never going to know what you think of all this unless you give us a call. So please do, 604-UBC-CITR, 604-822-2487. And looking forward to having Keith here next week. You know, when initially he said he wouldn't be in for the show coming back, I was disappointed, but then I realized that's actually an opportunity. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. Yes, hello. You are live on CITR 101.9. Who's calling, please?
My name is Shane. You have no idea what this talk show is about. I always listen to your channel because I like the mom and pop shop stuff. And
sure.
Don't like mainstream. And
now, did you just tune in, or have you listened to any of the show?
I literally tuned in when you said we're going to do something different,
yep.
And then I heard the explosion, so you seem like an intelligent person that isn't boring,
sure.
And I have no idea what this show's about.
Well, that's fair enough. And you said the name is Shane?
That's right.
Thanks for calling, Shane. Well, I was just explaining before the explosion, because, of course, I'm aware with the medium that even though I've been doing the show for half an hour here, somebody could just tune in and have no idea what the context is, but this is a show called Now We're Talking that's broadcast here on CITR, and I've been doing the show for about 6 months, although I just had a two-month hiatus and I'm just resuming the show now. And Keith, who I co-host the show with, will be back next week. But I thought I'd try something different with this show because I'm doing it alone. It's very different to monologue on a show. I'm glad you've called, by the way, because it makes it more interesting for you and me and for everybody. But basically, the theme of the show is I discussed my year last year and how some things happened in my personal life where I just kind of realized I got to a place where I've kind of hit rock bottom, and in a certain sense. Is that right? Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and what I was saying about it was just the idea that, you know, of course that's a horrible place to be, but it's like when you realize you're at that place, if you have the willpower to move on, then you realize at least you're now in a position where you can start to make things better. But why don't you start telling me about yourself? Does that resonate for you? Are you in that place, or have you been in that place before?
My natural state of being is kind of like that Muhammad Ali mentality, which has left me that fire in my belly
Okay.
over the last few years. And last year was probably one of the lowest years that I've ever had. You know, didn't believe in myself, not loving myself. And then slowly understanding that, as opposed to telling myself that I am depressed, mm-hmm. not being realistic, accepting the fact that, or disassociating myself with that feeling and acknowledging it as myself experiencing depression, as opposed to me being depression.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
So was that helpful to have that realization?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I'm slowly climbing back up, but at the same time, I don't know. I look around this place that we're in, and I just see so much of the way that we operate, as people, is just so insane.
Yeah.
But accepted as normality, and there's very little I can do about it. And at the same time, I mean, I did a lot of, you know, I engaged in a lot of self-destruction last year.
Yeah.
Which doesn't exactly help, you know, bring the world to a place where I want it to be.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, I look around and it breaks my heart. Just, you know, what we do, what we sometimes do to each other and, you know, what our motives are. And, you know, like, for example, you look in the animal world, you know, birds have like, you know, feathers with beautiful colors. They do little dances to attract mates.
Yep.
You need a nice car and, you know, a house and whatever else, you know, money can buy in order to show, you know, the opposite sex or the same sex, whoever we're attracted to, that we are, you know, successful.
Sure.
And it's not their fault that they look for that, because they were taught that. We're born into insanity, and it's perceived as normality because it's the only thing that we know once we come into this place called the world, right?
Sure.
I don't call it civilization because I don't think we're there yet. We're not exactly.
So it feels civilized. Like we're not quite civilized, but maybe we're on. Do you think we're on the way towards that, or do you despair that we're not?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the epiphany that I had recently. It's like, you know what? I look at the next generation, I look at the youth, and I see how much of the truth is, you know, it can't be shielded like it used to be. And even though I may not be around to see us operate the way that we're supposed to, I know that the pendulum is swinging, and I know that we're going to get there one day. So that brings me satisfaction, right?
Well, that's a very optimistic perspective in a way, isn't it? Because it's not necessarily a perspective that one might have. So that sounds sort of comparable to this idea of being rock bottom and having a vision of climbing upward. I was thinking in terms of the individual, but you're talking about us collectively.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say that. I don't like people, but I care about them. And I look at, like, at the end of the day, I could live 300 years and I'm a speck of time in the cosmic scale, right?
Yeah.
All that's left is really, you know, the vibration that I leave in this place and you know, the next gen. And I don't see that as something separate from me, you know? Like, when I look at all the mess, don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect, right? I got some red in my ledger, but I look out there and I don't see out there. I see, you know, I see it as an extension of me. And I need to come to terms with the fact that a lot of it is, you know, not necessarily in my control directly, right?
Yeah. I'm curious about the timeline for this, because my impression is that you're, you know, you're an intellectual person that's, whether you want to or not, frankly, is thinking about these things. You mentioned this past year, and I'm wondering, have these thoughts always weighed on your mind, or is it in the past year in particular that these things have come more to the forefront in your mind?
Well, 3 years ago, I lost my mother, which was really difficult for me. I mean, you know, I'm the youngest, and it just hit me really hard. Kind of butyl, the trigger to my my rock bottom.
Sure.
Was probably that event. Something sweet about it, as opposed to me playing this little violin.
No, I don't mind you playing the violin. Play any instrument you want. Play the piccolo for all
you.
I care.
Thank you. I just want to articulate the fact that that's not my intention.
Sure, sure,
To play it, but I do want to mention something that's kind of beautiful about that
Please.
Moment. The fact that when she passed, you know, I was holding her in my arms in the same building that she helped me when I came into this world in the
That's
hospital.
That's unbelievable.
So that really, like, you know, I was there for her, you know what I mean? So that really touched me.
That is
And another really beautiful thing, yeah, my father, he passed away November 18th, way back when I was, like, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother passed on February 9th. And one day I woke up in the middle of the night with these numbers in my head. February 9th is 2/9.
Mm-hmm.
November 18th is 11/18.
Mm-hmm.
9 plus 2 equals 11, and 9 times 2 is 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I woke up with this, like, epiphany that she's with him. And mathematically it makes sense. And whatever we want to tell ourselves to fall back to sleep at night.
Sure.
That moment was where I did go into a lot of self-destruction, and I started abusing, you know, substances and stuff. I blame myself for her stress, which I believe caused her cancer, because I wasn't the greatest kid growing up. You know, I didn't see the world like I just shared with you earlier, as an extension of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am me, and that's that. Anyway, so how I got over that feeling, you know, I had nightmares and all this stuff. How I got over that was by going to Costa Rica, and I did iboga therapy. Are you familiar with iboga?
I'm not. Please tell me.
Okay, so iboga is a root of a tree from Africa that has been used since the beginning of time. Beginning of man, one of the first tribes out there. It's similar to ayahuasca, mm-hmm. and I did it under the guidance of a shaman. Now, what iboga does on a medical or a biological scale, let's say, for example, if you're addicted to opiates, which wasn't my thing, but that's irrelevant. But if you are, there's a physical addiction to it. You get sick if you don't have that for X amount of time.
Sure.
Okay. So the reason why is because, naturally we have these receptors in our brain. Now, let's say, for example, the receptor is shaped like an arrow, like a point. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now that point, it's telling me that I want sugar. So I want an apple. Now, if I were to drink a beer which actually hits that same trigger, what happens is that arrow gets kind of distorted or deformed. So when my brain is trying to tell me that I want an apple, I want sugar, I'm actually thinking that it's telling me that I want a beer. So essentially that's what, that's how you develop this addiction, this actual physical addiction to, let's say, heroin. So same thing with heroin. It messes up your receptors and deforms them. So you think you want that. And if you don't have it, you're going to get sick. Now, what iboga does is on a, analogously speaking, is it resets your computer and it reshapes those receptors back to their original form. So after you do iboga, after you come off of the experience, you will not get sick if you don't have heroin. It's not a mental thing. It actually changes that in your body. So that's what it does there. Now, on a experience level, what I experienced was to help me get over, me blaming myself for my mom, was I saw her. I saw her as a ribbon of a pink ribbon with gold flakes kind of circling around her. And I was saying, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. And every time I would even mention anything, her ribbon surrounded me, and it would just grow brighter pink. My eyes were closed at this time, by the way.
Sure.
Under the guidance of a shaman. The ribbon came around me, and the flakes would just start spinning faster and faster, and kind of like, when it starts to snow a little bit, and then it snows a lot.
Yeah.
So that
to happen
happened.
Fast and furious.
Yeah. Basically, so that essentially took away all of my guilt. And, I came back as good to go. I was back as a new person, that Muhammad Ali mentality without, I guess, as much of the arrogance. however, I allowed the world to affect me. I allowed, relationships with, my brother and other people to remind me why I shouldn't love myself, as opposed to finding tools and changing my environment to a place where I can sustain this feeling of loving myself and the world around me.
So it basically gave you an emotional reset as well, where you're able to sort of release a lot of that guilt.
Oh, all of it.
All of it.
100%. Yeah. I mean, to this day, I don't blame myself
at
all.
It's incredible.
At the end of the day, we choose how we feel, right? Granted, the things around us can influence our decisions, but if I were to say to somebody, you're making me mad, they're not making me anything.
Yeah.
They're doing something that's affecting me, and I'm choosing to feel that emotion.
Right.
So.
And there are a lot of these ideas that you're sharing here that sort of pull into focus in the aftermath of that experience?
Some of it, actually. I mean, that whole, I don't want to call it New Age because New Age bugs the shit out of me. Am I allowed to curse on here?
You can use that one. I don't mind that one.
Okay. I'm not gonna get all NWA up in here.
Sure. Not yet, at least. Maybe later on a different show.
word. Okay, no problem. Sorry, you asked me if. If that was the beginning of my perspective change. No, actually, I was introduced to the whole kind of quantum and the whole building my emotional intelligence when I worked at a employee benefits place. I mean, the president, I was kind of like Frank Lucas was to an American gangster was. He was a driver to the main guy, and basically he went wherever he went, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was.
Have we lost Shane? We have. But you know what? I'm sure he'll call back. Folks, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. This is Now We're Talking. Shane, that's probably you right now. Let's check and find out. Nope. I'll try. Here's another one coming in. No. Okay. Folks, that's college radio. Just winging it, pressing buttons, seeing what sounds arrive that I can transmit to you on the airwaves. Shane, if you're listening, feel free to call back at 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so eager to share with you both the alphanumeric as well as the numeric phone number that you can call. Shane, please do call back. Those, you know, that's perfect. You know, I'm looking to have a substantial conversation, and then a Shane enters the equation. Very interesting, and I really appreciate the degree of vulnerability and the truth. This is where interesting things begin to happen. So, Shane, if you're there, give us a call back. And also, if you're just if you're listening, now you see how it works. Somebody calls, we talk. The floor is yours, really. I'm interested to hear your stories. I'm not here to. I had my chance to monologue at the top of the show, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say. But yeah, we're just checking in this week. The show is Now We're Talking. We did about 20 episodes or so last year, and then we had a hiatus. Now we're back from the hiatus. I say we. Keith, who my co-host, will be back next week. I believe the Super Bowl is happening right now, and Keith is observing the Super Bowl, and he will explain to me next week what happened with the Super Bowl, I'm sure. Of course, I could Google it or ask other people, but then, you know, what are we going to talk about next week? We need something. So, yes, CITR 101.9 FM, Jeff Bryant, the show is Now We're Talking. The number is 604-UBC-CITR, 604-822-2487. I always have to squint. I probably should just have that number memorized by now, but I always have to squint because it's just the font size on the board where the number is just small enough, and my vision is just poor enough that a little bit of trivia for you. If you were to walk by and see me squinting, it's not because I'm apprehensive to share the number. It's because I can barely read it. But yeah, I was just basically earlier, if you missed it, I was just updating you on what the break was for, what's been going on for me in the last year, and basically just reflecting on those moments in our lives where, you know, obviously things go up and they go down for everybody, but sometimes, you know, you can get really stuck. I have plenty of experience with that on a personal level, and I'm sure many of you do as well. I find it fruitful to discuss in life, and why not on the radio? You could be the second person in the conversation, and there might be a third person listening. That would make three people, which is not bad, not bad numbers. I have the numbers here somewhere for the show. And I think, yeah, 3 to 4 is usually, it's, you know, when we hit that mark, we feel good about it. So there's still about 10 minutes left in the show. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we've got More Than Human. Gareth, I'm sure, has been wondering where the hell I've been for the last 2 months. At one point, I did receive an email from him, which I was glad to receive so that I could assuage his fears that I might be dead or whatever, just gave up on college radio, which, you know, I don't want to presume, but he may have interpreted it as a great tragedy. I don't know. But you know what? We can talk about whatever you want. If you want to call in, we can pursue this theme. You can tell me about what's happening in your life right now or times in your life that you've managed to pull it together. And that could be interesting. But you could also just tell me what's happening in the Super Bowl and steal Keith's thunder from next week if that's what you want to do. I'm not going to, at this point, you know, beggars can't be choosers. And I hate to characterize myself as a beggar. But, hey, if the beggar shoe fits. So we do have 10 minutes. Give us a call, 604-UBC-CITR. I'm squinting again. 604-822-2487, and we'll talk. Shane, I don't know what happened there. I feel like it was probably just a technical glitch. You may not be listening right now, but regardless, I would like to thank Shane for having called because he offered something substantial to the show. And I thought that was really, really cool, really interesting. You know, we didn't have a lot of opportunities last year to have call-ins. It happened every once in a while. But it's always interesting to hear who's out there and to ask you. I always make sure, I lost the opportunity with Shane, but I always make sure to ask a few pointed questions such as, have you heard of CITR before? Why are you listening and how are you listening? And from my experience, it's usually, if I can just paint the picture, it's somebody driving somewhere right now and their auxiliary jack is failing them or their Bluetooth isn't working or their five-disc changer, CD changer in the trunk has been snowed over, or something's going on and it's precluding them from consuming media as they normally do in their vehicles, so they're now desperate to be entertained by the radio. They're flicking through commercial radio stations, and they're sick of all the songs that they've heard a million times. They stumble across a man talking and randomly playing sounds of explosions. And it intrigues them. And I think that's what Shane said. I think he indicated that that was sort of a hook point for him to make the decision to call into the show, was the arbitrary sound of an explosion. So that might sound silly and absurd to you, for me to have that at the ready and to play that sound cue, but it works. It just works. Folks, I'm going to keep saying it in case you're just tuning in. This is Now We're Talking, and it's good to be back in 2017. And in essence, this is the New Year show. Even though we're well into 2017, this is for us the New Year show. So Happy New Year. How's it going so far? Did you have any resolutions? Do you make resolutions on New Year's? And do you actually believe that they're going to be upheld? Mine has. I didn't really think of it as a New Year's resolution, but incidentally, it was on the 31st of December or the 1st of January, right around there, where I had a conviction to focus on my health, and I've continued to do that. Now, I think because it was rooted in something a bit deeper and less trivial than a New Year's resolution, I think that's the basis for it enduring. But did you potentially have a New Year's resolution, and this year it's actually worked? You've actually made it to February, and remarkably, you're still on track. That could be interesting. And why? Because nobody else is talking about that. Why? Because it's February, and not everybody is in the specific situation where they have not hosted their show since early December. A lot's changed in the world since December 4th or 5th or whenever it was we did the last show. You know, we did talk a little bit on the show about the U.S. presidential election, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it here. You know, I spent the whole year leading up to that election, I spent way too much time kind of keeping an eye on that reality show. I think it got to the point where I kept an eye on it because I wanted to be... reassured, I guess, that Donald Trump would not become the president. But of course, he did become the president. And we probably had a couple shows where we discussed this, and I'm not going to drag it out right now. But because we never got the chance to acknowledge his election and, of course, rather his inauguration, I'm now going to do something I would have done if we'd recorded a show at the time. Here he is, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. No, this is not a nightmare. This is real. This is the world that we now live in. Yes, we have hope that society will evolve and civilization will arrive as a true concept. We will all become civil and decent. But in the meantime, here he is, Donald J. Trump, the President. I don't know what your politics are, but I doubt very seriously that you've thought this through if you think this is a good thing. So congratulations, America and the world. Donald J. Trump, the President of the United States. Who am I kidding? I just had that sound cue, and it just sounds... That piece of music is so robust. I just want an excuse to play that for you. Folks, it's Now We're Talking, CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. We will be back next week. From now on, you're gonna hear us every. Don't worry about this hiatus that we had. This was just a momentary thing. It was an end of the year, beginning of the year thing. But we are here every Sunday, from 6 until 7 p.m. And when I say we, I do mean myself, Jeff Bryant, alongside Keith Kennedy. And who knows what the show will be this year? I've speculated that I think something that we'll hope to do more of is to have live guests. I know when we started the show, and I know I discussed, we did some pre-recorded interviews, and I enjoyed doing that, but I think moving forward, I think to move beyond just Keith and I having conversations that frankly might sound like you're eavesdropping on two guys. We try not to make those conversations too, you know, we want to make them accessible to the listenership. But I think it would be even better to have either, you know, live callers like we did here today with Shane, or to bring some people in the studio deliberately, not just to try to poach them over the airwaves, but to actually bring in some live in studio guests and to maybe learn about what's happening in their lives. And then me and Keith can absolutely grill them on the details. And who knows what could come out of that. It could be hilarious, it could be tragic, or it could be entirely uneventful, which would be really awkward for that person, because they would probably detect that Keith and I are disappointed by their performance in the studio. Hopefully, whoever these people are, aren't hearing me paint that picture right now, because you know, it might deter them from coming in. Coming up very shortly, in just a few minutes, we're going to have some more programming here at CITR, which you might not know. It's a college radio station here at UBC. It's also a community radio station, and there's all sorts of music that you can hear. All sorts of things are covered, and you know, this episode of this particular show has been just a lot of monologuing and talking, but please don't be deterred. The station is not just men going through crises in their own lives, you know, making that plain to see for you to consider, but it's actually, there's all sorts of things, so please relax, don't worry about it. And one such show will be coming up very shortly in a few minutes, and that's called More Than Human, hosted by Gareth. It's probably just right now at the last possible moment to slip in a caller. If you're sitting there and your fingers are trembling and you're nervous about pressing the buttons, just go ahead and press them at 604 UBC CITR. That's if you're driving. You can pull over and you can remember that right now, 604 UBC CITR. And the number, if you're ready to dial, is 604-822-2487. Do you have a rotary phone? Okay, I'll say it slower. 604-822-2487. I'd love to hear why you have a rotary phone. I assume it's some sort of hipster thing. I assume that you're in your early 20s and you're going to listen to some cassette tapes later on. This would be your chance to do it and to have a very brief conversation just to explain yourself. Well, you know what, folks? Now that I see that the lines are not ringing, I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm glad to know that Shane did call in. I appreciate that. Going to think about maybe wrapping up the show right now, and we invite you to come back next week at, what is it, Sunday, 6 to 7 p.m. And we're going to play a little station break right here, and coming up at 7 o'clock, you're going to get the chance to hear More Than Human. Thank you very much for tuning in, and this is Jeff Bryant, your host.